Right, so today I'm speaking on light of the world, and there was a lot of stuff going on there, wasn't there, to pray for, and we need the light of the world. And we read earlier the passage that Richard read out about your light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. And so I think, as Rachel said, we walk through life together as a church, and when people are struggling, we walk through that together. We go through hand in hand and arm on arm. So that's why we find it important to pray together, to make sure that Sundays isn't just a place where we all just smile and act like everything's all right. Actually, it's a place where we are on a journey together. And I see, that picture of horizon is always a picture of us kind of going on an adventure to see what God's got next for us. But actually, I see a path, a windy path that we're going on together. We're going on a journey together with God. And on that path, we have to support each other. When one of us falls down, we have to lift them up as well. But we do it all because Jesus is the light of the world and the light in the darkness. Right, so that's what I'm speaking on, light of the world. And it's Christmas, obviously, right? Everyone's excited, aren't they? Look around the room, do a check. No, probably no, not really. Okay, wrong crowd. Maybe I should have spoken to the kids instead. But we're excited that it will finish, aren't we? And then it will be over and done with. We don't have to worry about it again for another year. So there is some excitement there. But Christmas is a time of expectation. And you kind of feel it rise, don't you? As first of all, you see the adverts in like what? August or something, everyone goes, oh, and then slowly as it gets closer and closer to Christmas, the Christmas music starts, and at first you complain about it, but before you know it, you're singing along to the songs, and the expectation for Christmas starts to rise even more. I remember I was a very hyperactive child, and so the closer it got to Christmas, the more hyperactive I used to get, and I'd be bouncing off the walls. And I remember my sister had to sit me down one day and just be like, just stop, just like, just stop. Mum and dad need a break. Everyone needs a break. Just stop. And I remember even when I went to bed, I'd be like, I just want to get a glimpse of Father Christmas. And so I'd lie there in bed and I'd close my eyes and I'd be like, I'm going to pretend to sleep, but I'm going to try and stay awake. And I'd try and try and try and try. And the next thing I know, suddenly it's morning. And I'd kind of wake up. And at first I was disappointed because I didn't stay awake. But then I'd see the stocking fall and suddenly I got excited again. So as it's a time of expectation, I thought, you know what? I've got something behind this barrier here. And even as I say that, I imagine people are starting to feel a little bit of excitement. Even if you are a bit bah humbug, Bob's not feeling excitement. What is behind the barrier? It could be Marina. No, it's not. She's ill. Right, should we have a look? See what's behind here. You probably can see because there's a gap at the bottom as well. That wasn't really very well thought through, was it? Here we go. A big present, right? Who's good at opening presents? Anybody good at opening presents? Here we go. Right. Right. Can you open that for me, please? Actually, first of all, before you open it, can we have a drum roll, please? Let's raise the expectation in the room. Are we excited? What is it? It's an empty box. It says, "Tell everyone to look under their chairs." Can you tell everybody to look under the chairs? Have a look under. Can you see anything? If you found anything underneath your chair, please lift it up. There you go, one, two. Sorry, everyone got one? Hold it up. I think we had seven. We should have seven in the room. One, two, three, four, five. There's still some more. Oh, there's still a couple more. So you could feel the expectation rise. Suddenly you get a present out and people suddenly feel a bit different. When you give someone a wrapped present, suddenly there's a little bit more expectation. And around the time Jesus was born, there was expectation because there was a bunch of prophecies, things that were spoken out hundreds of years before they happened, about somebody that was going to come into a dark world and bring light to that world. And if we could have the next slide up, please, Roberto. One of those prophecies in Isaiah 9, verse 2, and it says, if we can get the other slide up, please. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And so what this prophecy tells us right in the beginning is that the world is in darkness, but that a light is coming, that there is hope. And so the people at the time had that kind of raised expectation that something's going to happen, something's going to take place to kind of sort out the struggles of the world. And what I want to do this morning is raise a bit of expectation in our own hearts, actually. We're talking about all these situations. Maybe people have come in here today kind of seeking God, wondering how God's going to break through into their life. And I want to raise the expectation this morning and say the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. And so I just pray right now, Lord, as people come here today with expectation that you're going to move in their lives, I pray that they start to see that in incredible ways, and in ways maybe sometimes that aren't even that extraordinary, but just ordinary ways that they suddenly start to see you working in different areas of their lives. And so we pray right now that you raise the expectation, you raise that hope that in whatever dark situations we have, that your light is going to shine in them as well. And so as we look at the story of the Bible, it kind of sets out the kind of status of the world. And we read that verse earlier, John chapter 1. If we can get that up on the screen, please, Roberto. The next slide. So in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So the first thing this tells us is that God is the ultimate source of life. And we know that we know the creation story, right? We know that God created the world, but it says that he's the source of light, and therefore he is life for all people. And so in that case, you kind of wonder, well, hang on, if God is light and he created the world, then how is there darkness? And it's quite simple, really, a little science lesson. You can't get light and darkness in the same place. They can't coexist, right? So if you have a power cut in your house and suddenly it's dark, you need a light in order to see what you're doing. So if you grab a torch and you turn on the torch and then you leave it on the table and start walking, soon you're going to walk into something because you've left the light behind and you're just walking in the darkness. So as we're looking kind of at the story of God, he created the world, he created people to be in relationship with him, and people often get it wrong. They say, well, why did God create these rules and then people broke them and suddenly it means that the world is living in what they call sin or darkness? But actually, it's not about a broken rule, it's about a broken relationship. And as we all know in life, right, broken relationships aren't easy to fix. It's no simple thing. When we have a friendship where there's a break, or a relationship where there's a break, suddenly there's this division between people. And it's not as simple as just picking up the pieces and putting it back together. And I remember me and my brother when we were younger, if it was raining outside, if it was nighttime, we'd always be playing football in our hallway in our house. And we were banned from playing we had to play with a softball, basically, because we were banned from playing other ball, as you can imagine, things would break. But even with the softball, things still broke. And one time we were playing, and rarely, normally my door was the goal, and then his kind of wall was the goal. Normally I'd score like every time, but on one occasion I hit it up and it went straight up and it hit a plate, like an ornamental plate on the wall, and it came down, and thankfully my brother's head was there, so it hit him on the head rather than the floor, so that was great, except for it still smashed anyway. And so we picked it up and there's like six pieces, but as you know these things, you try and put it together, and even though it's six pieces, somehow it just doesn't go back together again. And eventually we had to tell my parents that we'd broken another thing in the house. And that's what relationships are like, that sometimes when they're broken, it's not just as simple as putting them back together again. And so the story of the Bible, the story of God, is that people are separated from God because of that broken relationship, because that light and darkness can't kind of coexist in the same place. And so that's what the story of God says. And it's kind of up to us whether we take that and believe it or not, whether we think, is the world a dark place? And actually, you start to ask that and you go, yeah, the world does seem pretty dark, right? We were talking about all those situations today. We read the news and we see everything happening in the world, and actually, there's some dark things going on. It feels like we're missing something. And we see that in our own lives as well. We talk about depression and anxiety and loneliness and greed and people just messing things up. It feels like sometimes you can't touch anything without something going wrong. And so it feels almost like there's something missing. You know, there's this darkness in the world and there's something that's not quite right in our lives, but also in the world as well. And if we could go on to the next slide, please. There's this book by a woman called Emma Donoghue. It's called Room. It's quite a tough read, but a good book. And it's been turned into a film as well, if you prefer films. But it's about a woman that was kept captive in a kind of outhouse, so kind of a garage or a shed. And she gives birth to a baby boy while she's there. And so he grows up in this one little room. And because he grows up there, he doesn't know anything about the outside world. She decides she's not going to tell him anything about the outside world because she doesn't want to disappoint him. And so all he knows is those four walls. That is his world. And then when he's 5 years old, she realizes that they need to escape. And so she starts telling him about the outside of the world. But it's just too much for him to handle. It's too much for him to kind of take in. And I won't give any spoilers, but, you know, they go through this process. And that's the kind of situation that the world is in. It's like this darkness. You know, that boy was living in darkness, living in captivity, but he didn't know he was living in darkness because he'd never known anything else. And so we only know what we live in. And in that way, we say that the world is in darkness, but we don't even know it as well. So in that situation, what does God say he's going to do? What's he going to do to kind of change things around? If we go to the next picture, please. I think it's that one there. This was in the news recently. In India, there was this mine collapse, and there was miners in there. And you can just put yourselves in their position for one moment. This is a moment where they're probably saying their prayers. They're probably saying their last kind of goodbyes and whatever else, because they're stuck in this mine. But people start making this rescue effort to come and get them, and they dig down. And this picture was in the news. That's actually just a tiny little hole that was big enough just to put a camera down, just so they could see what situation was in the mind, who was there. And that's the kind of image that we have of God's light breaking into the world. It's almost like he's digging down and almost that hole coming down to us to bring that light through. And you can imagine for them, suddenly, when they see that light, the expectation starts to rise. When they see that people are contacting them, suddenly they have that little bit more hope that actually maybe we will come out of this alive. And amazingly, they did as well. And so that's what happened with God is when Jesus came, it was like this kind of light coming into the world, that people had this hope that as these prophecies were there, that there's this light that's coming, that suddenly maybe there's something else that's going to happen. And as we had that expectation with the present there, and we were doing the drum roll, the expectations started to rise, and we started to feel, you know, in that kind of place. And it's the same for them. And we've got a verse that's going to come up on the screen, which says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." And so people are in this situation where suddenly there's this huge expectation. I mean, imagine being told that something or someone's going to come and sort out all the problems, all the darkness that you see. And it's almost like everyone's expecting this big thing to happen. Like if someone said that now, you'd almost be looking at the news and going, is there going to be a world leader? Is something going to come from the sky? And they're told this light's coming. So it's almost like everybody's looking up, expecting something to happen. Like we were expecting something to be in that box. And then Jesus just sneaks in through the back door into a stable as a baby. And it's like that light that's coming into the world, everyone's expecting this huge thing to happen, and it's just right there where they can't even see it. And we see that today, you know, with this present that we're all expecting something to be there, but instead the present is among us, right? We've got them underneath the chairs, and some of us had to struggle to find them as well. I thought it'd be easy enough, but clearly it was a bit of a struggle on a Sunday morning. And so it's almost like they're looking for this big thing, and actually God speaks in a smaller way. And what I want to say this morning is that there's people here today that maybe are seeking God, and maybe you're kind of looking for that bigger thing, when actually maybe God's already been speaking to you. And you start to ask yourself the question, why are you here today? What series of events brought you here? If you're on the Alpha Course, what series of events led you onto the Alpha Course? Is it a coincidence, or is it more of a coinciding of your seeking and God's finding you? So let me tell you about, you know, it's Christmas time, we're talking about the nativity story. Let me tell you about two groups of people that saw God's light in the darkness. The first is the shepherds. It says they were out in the field. They were doing their, you know, normal shepherding. They were out at night time looking after their flocks. And suddenly this bright light appears. And as the bright light appears, it's an angel telling them that the Son of God has been born and they need to go worship him in the stable. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've not been particularly searching. You're just going about your normal life, and suddenly you're presented with this moment where you start to think, is God kind of speaking to me? I've never really considered this before. It's almost like a bright light has suddenly appeared. The other people is the wise men, and they were the ones that were kind of looking for something. You know, that people say that maybe they were stargazers, people that looked at the stars and kind of studied the universe. And so they're looking for something, and suddenly they see this bright star appear in the sky. And maybe that's more like you, actually. Maybe you've been searching, you've been looking in all different places for an answer, but suddenly there's one that's just jumped out, one that shines, one that's new, that you go, actually, maybe this is it. And so however you feel right now, what I want to say is that God wants to meet you in that darkness. God wants to meet you in whatever it is that you're going through at the moment. And even in this moment, you can invite that life into your life, and that light into your life, sorry. And just to say, you know, one of the things I think people don't sometimes understand about being a Christian is that it's not just deciding to believe about something in your head. It really is inviting God's light into your life, into that kind of shining into the darkness. And when people decide to believe in God, decide to invite God into their lives, it's not just that from that moment on we decide to believe it almost like believing a fact, but actually it's inviting God into your life. And when you do that, you turn light on in the darkness, it starts to make a difference. You start to see things and you start to see change. There's people in this church that have given their life to God over the last year and have said that as they've been with friends, as they've been with family, they're saying, you know, you seem bright, you seem different, something has changed in you. And people can see that change. And so I want to encourage you, actually, that's what we believe in. It's not just something that's a kind of religion to believe in. It's actually having that difference of God making a difference in your life as well. But one thing that people often say about inviting God into their lives is, I'm not ready yet. You know, I need to sort some stuff out first. I need to clean myself up a bit. And this is what I think you need to hear today, is that actually God wants to meet you right now in the messiness of life. Not to clean up, not to try and sort yourself out first, but actually just to say, here I am, and meet you in that place, in that moment. And the reason that I know that is because Jesus was born into a messy place, right? Christmas is often made to look really perfect and you know, dazzling lights and a Christmas tree and snow, and everything just looks so picturesque and so perfect. Even the nativity story is often told in a way that's really picturesque. And actually, it's one of those moments where you have the kind of expectations versus reality, when you expect something to be a certain way and you don't. And because it's Christmas, we're going to get a picture of turkey up on the screen. Here we go. No, not that one, the next one. There we go, Christmas cracker joke, right there. Thank you very much. Plenty more where that came from. Actually, there's not plenty more where that came from. That's the only one I've got, unfortunately. We had an expectation versus reality at the moment where my family went to Turkey, and we thought we were being quite smart, because just before the normal kind of season starts there, the holiday season, there was a hotel available, and it was cheaper because it was just out of season, and we thought, great, we'll go there, the weather's still really good. And so you can imagine the kind of things that were on the website, the swimming pool and the hotel, and they had pool tables and all sorts of things. So our expectation was to go and have a great holiday in Turkey. And we got there, and when we got there in the evening, the swimming pool was about 2 inches of water in the pool. And so we thought, well, you know, it's evening, it's our first night here. I'm sure we'll wake up in the morning and it will be full. So we went to sleep that night. It turns out they didn't actually have any duvets in the hotel as well, because they said normally people come in the summer when it's hot. So we just have bed sheets. They were like, you can have some extra bed sheets. So we were freezing in the night. We came downstairs again and the swimming pool had risen by about another 2 inches. And we were like, okay, maybe it'll be ready the next day. About 5 days into our holiday, we started to realize maybe the swimming pool is not going to be ready by the time our holiday finishes. And the more we spoke to people at the hotel, the more they kind of told us excitedly that, you know, it's not ready yet, but it's going to be ready soon. It's going to be ready next week when the next guests come. And so we thought, okay, well, we're going to the pool tables then. So we go outside, and the pool tables are actually being built at that moment in time. And it was amazing what they were doing. They were building their own pool tables and they looked really, really good. And again, we said, oh, are there no pool tables? And they said, oh, it's not ready yet. But it's going to be ready soon. And next week, there's going to be some amazing pool tables. And so it became known as the kind of it's not ready yet holiday. But we decided, actually, you know what? We're going to have fun anyway. We could sit here and complain about it. But we're here. We're just going to sleep in the hotel, be cold in the night, and then go out and enjoy ourselves out in the town. But we had this expectation for a normal kind of holiday. And in the end, we got something very, very different. And if we could go to the next slide, so we don't have turkey up on the thing, that'd be great. And that's the kind of thing we get with the nativity story, is people expect this story. You know, you watch all the films and everything is just perfectly fits together. But I see something that's a bit more like reality, quite messy, a bit more like one of my holidays, actually. Because first of all, Mary's told that she's going to have a baby, she's going to have the Son of God. And you can imagine that responsibility weighing on her shoulders. And just as she's preparing the home, we all know what it's like when you're trying to prepare the home for a new baby. And she's kind of preparing that moment. And then suddenly she's told, you've got to go to Bethlehem, because everybody has to go back to the father's homeland. And so she has to travel all that way, and she must be thinking, well, hang on, I've got the son, I've got to look after this baby, and now I've got to travel dangerously across all that way to get to Bethlehem, and suddenly it doesn't look so perfect, it doesn't look like it fits together. And then you get to where they actually end up staying. So they end up staying in a stable with animals. And first of all, right, whenever Jesus is born in these things, he always looks like perfect and absolutely clean and everything, and he doesn't cry and all this stuff. But you know what? Birth is really, really messy, isn't it? You know, you have all that time being pregnant, all that time leading up to it, and then the birth happens. It's pretty messy, and it's pretty painful from what I gather as well. No first-hand experience, but I don't think it's exactly like that kind of perfect thing that it makes look like. The second thing is that they had animals in the stable with them, and I went to the farm the other day with my kids, and I realized when I got there that animals just stink, like absolutely stink. We got there, and I just thought, what is that smell? And on top of stinking, they don't take any notice of you. Like, my kids are there waving. They don't turn around and wave. In all the nativity story stuff, like, all of them are gathering around Jesus and having a look, but I don't think it would have gone that way. I think they would have just been standing in there munching their grass. The other thing is, they don't actually kind of go off privately to go to the toilet. They just do it right there. So, you know, my kids are there, they're looking at them and they're saying, oh, that's a lovely goat. That what's that stuff coming out? Yeah, just look the other way. And so suddenly you've got Jesus being born in this moment, and it doesn't feel like a very Son of God moment, because you've got animals that are probably smelling and probably doing that kind of thing. And on top of that, you think, okay, well, maybe God's going to bring some reinforcements. He goes to get the shepherds, but the shepherds at that time are out with the animals all the time, so they probably smell like a farm too. And then the wise men, you think, finally, we're getting some sophisticated people. But the wise men had to travel all the way from the east. And I don't know if you've ever traveled before, but something really weird happens, because if you were in the office all day, you'd be fine. If you're outside all day, you'd be fine. If you're at home all day, you'd be fine. But if you're on a train, a coach, or a plane for more than a few hours, you come out of it stinking. I don't know why. I don't know what happens in that moment, but you just come out smelling really bad. And I had that moment myself, because when me and Lydia got married in India, I'd actually never met her parents before. So I was coming off the plane, and I knew that not only her parents are going to be there, but this is Indian culture. All of her cousins were going to be there. Pretty much everyone they know is going to be outside the airport. And I came off my 13-hour flight, and I just came off feeling horrible. And I'm like, my breath stinks and doing that. So I had to do one of those, go to the bathroom and kind of try and get the water under your armpits and try and get the soap under there and then try and dry it off. And then brush my teeth in there as well and do my hair and come out. And it was suddenly, you think, actually, even these wise men coming, their breath must have stank, because my breath stank after going 13 hours on a plane, and they were going for days and weeks probably from the east as well. Suddenly you have this moment where this is the Son of God, this is that prophecy, the light that's coming into the world, but born into this absolute mess, like an absolute mess. And it makes me think, you know what, I think we've got Christmas a little bit wrong. The other week I was putting my Christmas tree up and getting the kids to decorate it. Normally you kind of let them do a little bit and then you kind of fix it and you put it all in the right place. And they were just having such a good time. And part of me wanted to stop them and just be like, no, don't put that there. Like, we're going to put it up here. We're going to make sure there's a red bauble and then a silver and then a red and then this and then a sparkly bit. And in the end, I just said, you know what, let's just let them do it. And they did it, and it's a mess. But it was so much more fun than me just sitting in the other room and doing it myself. And so God wants to meet us in that messy place. And we know that because Jesus was born into an absolute diabolical mess. And childbirth is the perfect example. You know, you have all that expectation, the months leading up to it, 9 months leading up to it, you have the pain during childbirth. But when the baby comes, it's an absolute mess, isn't it? You know, there's no clean baby. But what do? The mother's a wreck, she's a mess, the baby's a mess, but they don't clean it up. They don't wait and say, we'll come back a day later once we've sorted everything else out. The first thing they do, they grab the baby, they put it with the mother for that skin-to-skin connection. And actually, that's powerful. You know, that's that moment where it doesn't matter. Nobody cares about the mess. Nobody cares about all that pain in that moment, because you've got the only thing that matters in that moment. And I want to tell you that that's how God wants to connect with you today. I really believe that. That's how God wants to connect with you. He doesn't want you to clean things up, but actually, as soon as you're ready to give your life to him, that's it. The contact's right there. The connection's right there. So I just want to pray quickly to finish. And actually, I'd like to invite you all just to close your eyes and just bow your heads in this moment. And you know, maybe you feel like those wise kings, that the wise men, that it's been building up to this moment. You've been searching, you've been searching, you've been searching, and you're getting to a point where you're like, yeah, you know what, actually, I want to invite God into my life. I want that light to come into the mess of my life. Or maybe you're more like the shepherds, and this is a bit of a surprise to you, but actually, you know what, it makes sense, and I can see God in it, and I want to accept that as well. So I just want to invite you, if you're somebody who wants to invite God into your life, you want to invite that light into the darkness, into the mess, I just want to invite you, as everyone has their eyes closed, just to raise your hand. And I know that's a big thing, but actually, if you want God to really break through into your life, I invite you just to raise your hand and say, actually, yeah, that's me. So I'm just going to give you a moment to do that. Don't worry about what other people say. That's great. I see that hand. Thank you. Remember that God wants to meet you in the mess. If you're starting to have doubts in the back of your head and think, I need to sort something out first, I need to sort out my life, I need to fix it up, then actually just in this moment, you just say, God, come into my life. And if that's you, just raise your hand in this moment. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. So Lord, we just pray right now, in our messiness, in our darkness, in our struggles, all those things that we were praying about earlier, we just invite you in this moment, invite your light into our life to make a difference, to make a change in us. And we know that you will. We believe that you will. We have that expectation. Your light is coming into our lives and coming into the lives of those around us as well. Amen.